First of all, we're grateful to the Lord for his word to us, and that his word is a light to our path, and in a very real sense, that's going to be the theme of this evening, the Lord's path. And as you already know, it's going to be drawn from the first 15 verses of Psalm 25. Now, Psalm 25 is one of the many psalms written by David, and although we can't be sure exactly when it was written or under what circumstances David wrote this psalm, it seems apparent that he wrote this psalm at one of the times of trouble in his life. And again, he had quite a few of those, and yet the thing that's so great is that he always turned to the Lord in his times of trouble to lead and guide him. And that's very much what I hope us to draw from the psalm this evening, that we would be a people who turn to the Lord to lead and guide us no matter what we're going through in this life. And so we need the Lord's leading and guidance as we walk our journey of faith in this world. And essentially, there's no point in walking a faith journey at all if it isn't along the Lord's path. And this evening, we're going to consider three things that are required. There are others, but we're going to consider three things that are required in order for us to walk in the ways of the Lord. And these three things are reliance, repentance, and reverence. So three R's to make it easy for us to remember: reliance, repentance, and reverence. Now this particular psalm falls within the category of being an acrostic poem, but that's more relevant if we study the entire psalm, because there are 22 verses and there are 22 letters in the Hebrew alphabet. But it also utilizes the Hebrew literature pattern of using repetition for emphasis rather than flowing from one thought to the next. And so as we go through these three headings, we're going to jump around a little bit from verse to verse, starting with Psalm 25, verse 4, that says, "Make me to know your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths." And that's very much what I hope our prayer for this evening would be. Make me to know your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. And surely, as a church, we will along that journey. Some of us have been on that journey for more time than others, and some of us have invested more time into getting to know the ways of the Lord and for him to teach us his paths. But that needs to be a prayer of each of us. Make me to know your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. And so firstly, walking in the ways of the Lord requires reliance. According to Isaiah chapter 55, verse 9, the Lord says, "For the heavens are higher than the earth, for as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." It is not possible for the finite human mind to understand the infinite thoughts of God. And there are times that we just don't understand his ways. And this is precisely why many people rejected Christ, even when he walked among them, performing incredible miracles. Their ways involved a Messiah who would conquer the Romans, not die on a cross. In Corinthians chapter 1, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18, Paul describes it like this: "For the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God." And so if we try to see things through our own perspective, if we choose our ways over the ways of the Lord, we end up seeing the incredible things of God as folly, as those Paul was describing, who see the cross as folly But those are the people who are perishing. To us who are being saved, we need to see the power of the cross. And that's not something we can see with our natural eyes. That's something that is granted to us to see by the grace of God. Now, God's ways are always best. So let's endeavor to follow him and his lead, which we can only do as we rely on him. And I would say that we only want to do so as we learn to trust him. And David trusted God. And I think that's one of the key reasons that he so longed to walk in the ways of the Lord, because he trusted God. He trusted that God's ways were indeed best. If we don't trust God, perhaps we will be skeptical about his ways. But as we trust God, we trust that his ways are best. In Psalm 25, verse 2, he writes, "O my God, in you I trust." May that be a statement that flows out of each of our hearts. Oh my God, in you I trust. Even as we look around at the storms and might not be able to make sense of things going on around us, may the depths of our heart cry out, oh God, in you I trust. Do we trust God? And full reliance on him is the first step to walking in his ways. As we do, we can trust that we will not be put to shame, as David writes about in the next few lines of this verse. Let me not be put to shame. Let not my enemies exult over me. Now, this idea of being ashamed is sometimes perceived as a kind of embarrassment. But in this sense, it's more of a disappointment in something that hasn't proven worthy of our trust. And yet God is ultimately trustworthy, and that is what David knew, that he would not be put to shame because God is trustworthy. He would not be disappointed in that which he put his trust. Isaiah, our three-month-old baby, is fully reliant on those around him. If someone were to drop him, he would fall. Even as he tries to sit, if he's not supported, he's going to topple over. Even as human parents, we would do everything we can to not let him fall. And how much more reliable is our Heavenly Father to keep us from falling? So let's trust him completely, echoing the words of Psalm 25, verse 5. Lead me in your truth and teach me. For you are the God of my salvation. For you I wait all the day long. It is right for us to walk in reliance, and it is right for us to walk in repentance. David made many mistakes as he journeyed through this life, but he also exemplified walking in repentance. Many of the Psalms testify to this. In Psalm 25, verse 6, and 7, he writes, "Remember your mercy, O Lord, and your steadfast love, for they have been from of old. Remember not the sins of my youth or my transgressions. According to your steadfast love, remember me for the sake of your goodness, O Lord." And then in verse 11, he writes, "For your name's sake, O Lord, pardon my guilt, for it is great." Isn't it wonderful how David comes to the Lord and says, "Pardon me, please forgive me. My sins are great." He doesn't come and say, "Lord, please forgive me because I haven't sinned very much." His trust and love for the Lord meant that he was willing to come and pour out his heart and confess his sins and the true state of his heart. Let's be people like that. "For your name's sake, O Lord, pardon my guilt, for it is great." We cannot hide our sin from the Lord, and I hope that we don't try, because we trust him. True repentance implies turning around from heading in the direction of sin and returning to the Lord's path. I must say that when I'm driving and take a wrong turn, I don't like turning around. And I'm glad Sarah's not, where is she? She's at the back. Otherwise, she would probably You're making faces at me right now. But I don't like turning around if I've taken a wrong turn. I'd much rather find an alternative or creative route to find my own way back onto the track. Now, willing to admit that we're not on the right path is the first step in repentance. But genuine humility is a necessary part of walking in the ways of the Lord. And there are indeed times when we have to stop, and repentance means turning around and going in the opposite direction of sin and returning to the path of the Lord. And saying sorry when we come to acknowledge that we have drifted from the path, and then continuing in the wrong direction isn't enough. We need to repent. We need to turn around and return to the right path. One of the blessings in serving the God that we do is that we can never get completely lost, because we have the GPS of prayer and the promise that He forgives and restores those who repent. Psalm 25 verse 8 says, "Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore He instructs sinners in the way." And thanks be to God that even when we fall short, even when we sin and veer off the path that the Lord has called us to, He is good and upright, and He will instruct us as we open our hearts to Him. We're also promised that God will come to our rescue when we become entangled in snares that lie along the way. And I think most of the time we find ourselves ensnared when we have stepped off the path that God has called us to follow. But either way, Psalm 25 verse 15 says, "My eyes are ever toward the Lord, for He will pluck my feet out of the net." What a faithful God we serve. Even when we mess up, even if we fall into sin, as we repent, the Lord is faithful and He will pluck our feet out of the net, even if we have gotten into the net because of our own foolishness. So following the Lord's way means walking in reliance, walking in repentance, and it means walking in reverence. I want to say a few things about verses 12 to 14. "Who is the man who fears the Lord? Him will He instruct in the way that he should choose. His soul shall abide in well-being, and his offspring shall inherit the land. The friendship of the Lord is for those who fear Him, and He makes known to them His covenant." As Rod has alluded to, what a joy it is that God has initiated a friendship covenant with us through Christ Jesus. And God is the truest of friends. Psalm 25 verse 7 says this, "Remember not the sins of my youth or my transgressions. According to your steadfast love, remember me." I find that some people want to form friendship around things that they feel are mutually beneficial. And yet David here speaks of his own sin. And in comparison to that, he says, "According to your steadfast love, remember me." A true friend sees us for who we truly are. He sees through the mistakes that we might make. And God is the truest of friends. He sees who we really are, and He loves us just as we are. Yet although a few places in Scripture, not only this verse, but there are other places as well, including James chapter 2, 22 to 23, that speak of the concept of friendship with God, we need to remember that friendship with God is not a covenant between equals. It's a mistake if we think in those terms. It is God who has initiated the covenant, and it is He who has saved us. Therefore, before speaking of friendship with God, which is a wonderful concept indeed, David speaks of the fear of the Lord. And as we think about friendship with the Lord, we need to see it in context of reverence. This doesn't imply that we cower away from God in fear, but refers to reverent fear that recognizes the almighty sovereignty of God, who invites us to be His friend. As we endeavor to walk in reliance, repentance, and in reverence, let me close by reading Jude. There's only one chapter in it, so verse 24 and 25. Now to Him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless before the presence of His glory with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time, and now and forever. Amen.